You are listening to the first ever Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit dedicated to stillbirth and infant loss research, education, and awareness. Our guest today is Lindsay Wimmer, Executive Director and Founder of the Star Legacy Foundation. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Why don't you first tell us a little bit about how this organization got its start? How long have you been around for, and how did it start?
It originally started after my son Garrett was stillborn in 2004. For his birthday, we wanted to do something to recognize his impact in our life and the place that he still held in our family. We have a lot of golfers in our family, so we decided that a golf tournament would be a fun way to do that without recreating a memorial service. And we were completely blown away by the number of family and friends who were willing to come out and support us and even wanted to give a little bit extra to the cause. We were able to then donate money to researchers that we had isolated, because at that point we realized how little research was being done into stillbirth prevention. So we would just send the donations off to individual researchers. And over time, as we got to know some of these researchers and became more involved in some of their efforts, the organization really took a life of its own and has grown from there.
Well, that's amazing. It started as a golf tournament, really. Let's talk about the growth of the organization. Now, today, you're the only national nonprofit of its kind in the entire nation. Did this all happen by accident, or how did this growth take place?
I wish I had a magic formula for it. I really don't know. It's certainly not something that we envisioned, 12 years ago when Garrett was born. This is not something that we ever thought that would happen. But we feel like it's the organic need of it that has really driven it. When we see a gap, when we see a need, we look into it, and we're very fortunate that the right people and the right resources have been drawn to our mission as well. And that teamwork and that huge network of volunteers and interested people have really driven it.
Lindsay, you seem very quick to give credit to other people and other outside external factors, but is there anything about your attitude that has helped create this organization and help grow it to the level that it has today? Is there any philosophy, life philosophy you have lived by to help this organization grow?
Wow. I don't really have a life philosophy, but I think probably the thing I rely on the most is the fact that I am a nurse practitioner, and so I've lived in the health professional world. I know what some of the challenges and the stresses are for those individuals, but I've also lived the life of a bereaved parent, and I get those struggles as well. And I think there's a lot that both sides can learn from each other, and I've tried to focus on helping both sides understand each other better, because at the end of the day, we all have similar goals, but at times we have very different approaches or understandings of what it's going to take to get there.
You know, we talk about the mission of the Star Legacy Foundation. It's stillbirth and infant loss, research, education, and awareness. That's difficult for some people to understand exactly what Star Legacy does. Are there any examples of proud accomplishments that Star Legacy has made over the years that you can just share to help people really understand the impact you guys make?
I think some of the things we've been most proud of, the stillbirth summits, we've had two of them. We're having the third one this June. It's really a unique environment where we bring together researchers from around the world, and it's a roundtable format where they can share their ideas. It's not a typical medical conference where you just go from one lecture to the next. It's really meant to be interactive and to allow people to dialogue. It's also rather unusual to have advocates and family members who have been affected by a certain condition present at those medical conferences, but we really believe that they have so much to add. And the researchers have been incredibly gracious in recognizing the value that those families bring. So some of the unique nature of that or that event has been really significant for us. From the summits, we've gone into things like the STARS study, research that really is kind of giving us more data that the researchers are now taking and running with. One of the first examples I think of is at the very first stillbirth summit, the question came up about increased fetal movement, because we were getting more information about decreased, but we didn't have information about increased yet. And the researchers didn't have any data to go on. So we included that into the STARS study, and now we have data that is helping support and also spurring additional research so we can really see actual evidence of where what the parents are having to contribute is changing some of the science, and that's very exciting to see. We have many family support programs and awareness activities that we think helps create just a community, because at the end of the day, we need bereaved families to feel comfortable talking about what has happened to them and honoring their babies in a way that is meaningful, because that helps create awareness and decrease some of the stigma that surrounds so many of these deaths. Along with that is a lot of the advocacy things. I'm really proud of our legislative team, who has done some amazing things in Minnesota and has been helping some other states do other things. Those are very tangible things that can really make an impact for families. And again, it helps break down those barriers, helps decrease that stigma.
In case you're just joining us, this is the first ever Stillbirth Matters podcast presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, and we're speaking with Lindsay Wimmer, the executive director and founder of the Star Legacy Foundation. Lindsay, let's talk about goals as you look to the future of the Star Legacy Foundation. And first, let's talk short term. What do you hope this organization will accomplish over the next year or so?
Well, I mentioned the Stillbirth Summit. We're incredibly excited about that. It's going to be in June in the Minneapolis area. We've also added Project Improve into our network, and this is actually a curriculum that was designed by the stillbirth organizations in New Zealand and Australia, and it's all designed around better investigation of these losses and how to train health professionals to get the most out of those investigations. And so we're really excited to be bringing the folks from down under to train U.S. faculty so that we can bring this type of a curriculum throughout the United States. We're also really excited about the Stillbirth Research Registry that should launch very, very soon. This is going to allow so many families who want to participate in research and want to their experiences, good, bad, or otherwise, to contribute to what we know about pregnancy health and how to encourage healthy pregnancy outcomes. It also will support the researchers who often struggle, or it takes incredible amounts of time and energy to get the enrollment that they need in their research studies. So this kind of serves a purpose for both people, or both groups of people, but in the end, we know that it will really advance how fast we can learn and what we can learn about pregnancy health. So we really see that as being a significant contribution that we'll be able to make very, very soon.
You know, stillbirth has been called the most understudied issue in medicine today. So clearly, your job comes with inherent challenges, I'm assuming. Can you talk about maybe what you find the most challenging part of your job, or some of the biggest challenges about working in this space?
I think the biggest challenge with this topic in general is the fact that it is such a taboo. It's really hard for people to even say the word or know what it means. It's hard for people to understand how often this happens. And a lot of that comes back to the fact that people aren't comfortable talking about it or explaining what has happened to them. I think we also hear that a lot from the health professionals, who are often scared or fearful of bringing up negative things to pregnant women. We have this idea that we want to protect and shelter pregnant women and let them enjoy this magical time in their lives. But the reality is, it's not always as simple and easy as we would like it to be. And so we have to be willing to be a little bit uncomfortable having those discussions if we really, truly want to partner with parents and health professionals to make some of these preventions. So that's really challenging. I think just an understanding also of how these babies fit into our lives is a difficult place, because the families all know that this is forever a person in their family, but how each family defines that or recognizes that is very different, and certainly how our society recognizes and defines that is very challenging.
So recognizing those challenges and recognizing the fact that you've been doing this for about a dozen years, what gives you hope for the future about where we're at, how far we've come in those 12 years, and maybe looking ahead to the future?
Well, we've definitely seen a lot of improvement over. That's one benefit of being in this for a long time, is I've seen some growth, and so that's certainly encouraging. And I really feel a momentum right now that we haven't had in a lot, very, very long time. We now have celebrities that are a little bit more willing to talk about some of their losses. We have different media outlets picking up on aspects of the story. There's a little bit more breaking down of some of those barriers. Social media has been a big change in this regard, because for the first time, in a lot of cases, people are actually getting to see these babies or see pictures of these babies that they otherwise wouldn't have seen. And it's a lot easier to think that this isn't an issue that affects you until you're looking through your Facebook or Instagram feed and see someone that you know and love sharing the photos of their own babies. And so I think all of these things are kind of contributing to a momentum. I do think some of the research that is happening now is absolutely contributing to that as well. We're starting to learn more. We're starting to get a better idea, and at least acknowledging that this is something that we need to address. And that's very encouraging.
As the executive director of the Star Legacy Foundation, I know you get emails and phone calls from families who are in the middle of the worst moment of their lives. They've just experienced a stillbirth. They're trying to find answers. They're trying to connect with professionals who can help them. Can you take us through some of the conversations? What are they like? And maybe what are the most common questions or comments you get in those situations?
Actually, I think the most common question or comment that I hear is, I don't even know what to do now. It's a completely foreign place to be for so many families. And so they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what to ask. Another very common thing is, how did this happen? How often does this happen? It again is something that most people don't even know exists, and they're not aware of it. It's not on their radar at all until it's thrown in their laps. So we try to talk a lot about how they're not alone, that unfortunately there are a lot of families who have been there in those shoes. And so we try to do what we can to help them feel like this isn't a black mark on them. This doesn't make them unique in a bad way. This is part of a bigger issue, and there's good and bad in that. It's heartbreaking when you realize how many families are enduring this, but there's, for those families, it's also encouraging that they have a large community of support. So we try to focus on that. There's so many questions in so many times, and even for families that do have an answer of what happened to their baby, the medical nature of it may be overwhelming. So sometimes we hear from families days and weeks out saying, we got this report from the doctors, or this is what they told us, but it still doesn't make sense. Can you help us understand what has happened? And so we try to do a lot of that, because it's enormous in the healing process, but it's also very applicable to any future pregnancies or how this family views what has happened to them.
For families who are active grievers, as we call them, if they experience grief and they want to do something, get involved in some way to honor their child or their grandchild, whoever it may be, this is a very broad question, but how can people get involved with the Star Legacy Foundation? What would you recommend to them? Yeah.
There are so many ways, and you know, as I kind of hinted at the beginning, our growth and our ability to do what we are able to do is based on volunteers. The vast majority of them are exactly who you're talking about, these active grievers. And so my first recommendation would be to think about your personal talents or interests and skills and talk to us, because there are so many different ways. We have individuals who will sew gowns and blankets for these babies that we then donate to the hospitals. We have people who are helpful with the website. We have people who help with the accounting aspect of things. Just about any skill set that you have, we can probably utilize in some way. And we want anyone who's using, especially if they're using their grief and want to give back in some way, we want it to be in a way that is comfortable for them, is meaningful for them. And I would be hard-pressed to find just about any skill that we couldn't utilize.
That's great. And I know Star Legacy Foundation is based in Minnesota, but we're seeing a lot of activity happening all around the nation. Can you talk about what you're seeing and what opportunities there are for people who don't necessarily live in Minnesota or the Midwest, for that matter?
Absolutely. That's been one of our goals all along, is that we didn't want this to be a very community-specific type thing, because we know the need is so much broader than that. And particularly when we're talking about research and education, it has to be a nationwide thing. We don't want it to be that people get really good stillbirth prevention type pregnancy care only if they happen to live in the right community or work with the right doctor. We want that to be a nationwide thing. And we've also realized that so many of the programs that we have that are the most successful are successful when we have people in a community that can be a champion for that, that can be the feet on the ground and really help us get to the appropriate leaders in those areas. And so the biggest step we've taken in that regard is the establishment of chapters, and we're really excited about that. Our very first chapter was in the New York metro area, and they have been just fantastic working with us, but also in taking this responsibility very seriously and really wanting to bring all of these programs and things into their local hospitals. And it's amazing to see some of the progress they've made in just the very short time they've been officially with us. It's also spurred a lot of more interest in the chapters. We now currently have chapters in the San Diego area and in Ohio, and we have several more, probably, I would guess, 6 to 8 other chapters that are currently in different area stages of development. And I get requests or inquiries from people frequently about, do you have anything in my area and how can I help bring this to my area?
As we previously mentioned, this is the first of what we hope will be many Stillbirth Matters podcasts. We're kind of making things up as we go, but we're committed to making this a monthly podcast feature. What are your goals for this podcast, and what can listeners expect from it?
I really want this to be an interactive way for people that are interested, whether they're a bereaved family, whether they're a health professional that cares for these families, or just someone in our society that really has a soft spot. I want this to be an interactive way for them to learn more about the topic and interact with the people that are really the movers and shakers. So we hope to have guests that are researchers, that are advocates, that are policymakers, that are experts in a variety of fields that impact this entire community. Because we've learned from the Stillbirth Summits that families and professionals alike gain so much from hearing from each other, and we want this to be a continuation of that, so that it doesn't have to just wait for the next Stillbirth Summit to hear what different researchers are doing. We also hope it will help, you know, provide some comfort and maybe some answers to some people. If we have an expert on placental issues, hopefully there may be some information that you can glean about, you know, what happened to your baby if you know that there were placental things, or have additional information that helps you better understand what questions to ask of your own health professional. So we want this to kind of grow. Eventually, I hope that we get to where people are helping us come up with ideas of what topics they want and who we should have involved and who they want to hear from.
So final question. Earlier, we talked about your short-term goals for the Star Legacy Foundation. Let's talk about long-term. Let's envision you lying on a beach in Florida. You're retired, and you're looking back on your legacy and all the things that Star Legacy has accomplished, and you've passed the torch to another executive director. What do you hope that you can say that the Star Legacy Foundation accomplished during that time, and what are your hopes for even the future beyond that? Let's really push the envelope here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the ultimate goal would be that I wouldn't have to pass the torch to anyone, because we will have solved this issue and every preventable stillbirth is happening. And so there's no reason for us to exist. One, you know, kind of odd to think that your ultimate goal is to work yourself out of a job. But I really, that's kind of what we're after. In a realistic sense, I think I would love for us to be able to look back and say some of the things that we see now as low-hanging fruit, but very much possible. I want things like placental insufficiency, umbilical cord accidents, fetal growth restriction, some of the signs of distress like fetal movement and, you know, so many things that we are starting to really gain a lot of momentum around in the research arena. I want those to be commonplace, to where every single pregnancy, if it's there, it's recognized and it's managed. That we don't have babies dying from intrauterine infections. We don't have babies you know, dying or having birth injuries or, you know, any kind of a poor outcome because of some of these things that we see on the horizon right now. We want every mom to know about listening to her instincts and not sleeping on her back and so many of these things that we're learning. And I want that to all just be part of our narrative and dialogue about pregnancy. And those things are just automatic and they're working and they've really brought down the number of families that are experiencing these tragedies. Because then that will allow us to move our resources, the time, money, energy, into the research that are the things that are more elusive at the moment. Very exciting, but things like the genomics around poor pregnancy outcomes, or when I listened to some of the presenters at the Human Placental Project, some of the bioengineering that's being looked into, it's fascinating things, and it makes us realize there's so much that we don't know about the human pregnancy. And so if we can, you know, solve some of these other things that are kind of a little bit, you know, more in our realm right now, to where we can focus all of our energy on those types of activities, that's where I would really like to be.
Well, Lindsay, on behalf of baby lost families across the country, I hope that you don't have a job at some point. Thank you so much for sharing your time and insights with us. And thank you for being our guinea pig for the first ever Stillbirth Matters podcast.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm very excited and excited to see where this project goes.
Lindsay Wimmer is the executive director and founder of the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit dedicated to stillbirth and infant loss research, education, and awareness. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast.